We're going to be in Luke chapter 19 this morning. We are going to continue or begin a new study. I want to go back to 1980s. Whenever I was growing up, I had a lot of doctor's appointments, and I can remember getting the magazine. And I can remember sitting in the waiting room, and I could never figure out where Waldo was. Where was Waldo? Remember, where's Waldo? Now, maybe some of you are going to say, you know, it's just your man vision. I have man vision. I come to you this morning, and I tell you yet again that Holly continues to move the refrigerator because there's certain things I just can't find. And when I go with where's Waldo, I could never find Waldo. Because he was so hidden among all the chaos of the pictures. You remember those pictures that were there and they had a beach scene and they had all these people that looked like Waldo and you had to find Waldo. I had a picture this morning to show you, but the devil's in the details this morning and there's no technology that's working. So put in your mind's eye what Waldo looks like and then try to find him in that picture. Sometimes what happens, friends, is we get so lost in the craziness of life that we miss the important things. And sometimes in the craziness of life, we miss Waldo. And aren't you glad this morning that Jesus, when he came to seek and to save those that are lost, that Jesus didn't lose us? I'm so glad he found me. This morning, I am Waldo. And if you are lost this morning, Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. This morning, you should be in Luke chapter 19. My technology's not working, so we're going to have to just get our Bibles, and we're just going to have to go with your copy of God's Word, okay? So here we go, Luke chapter 19 this morning. As Jesus entered Jericho, he was passing through. You see, Jericho is about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And Jesus, at the end of Luke 19, he went and he was on mission. His mission was to die. Now, we just celebrated the empty tomb. We just celebrated the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And his very point, his very purpose in life was to die. And Jesus is coming down from the northern part of Israel, and he's walking through, and he's sitting in Jericho, and his next stop is Jerusalem. And he's going to Jerusalem not because he wonders what's going to happen. He's coming to Jerusalem to die a death that he doesn't need to die so that we can have life. And he doesn't shirk that ministry. He doesn't stop that vision. He continues to walk, but he doesn't get so consumed with what goes on in the picture that he misses the reason why he is here. He is here to find Waldo. You and I are Waldo. All right, so let's go back to Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. He entered Jericho, and as he was passing through, there was a man whose name was Zacchaeus. What do we know about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man. You're not doing it. It's not fun if you do it by myself. It feels awkward. I feel awkward enough. You still don't have your wee little man. So there, thank you. You're a wee little man. And you have to go, wee little man, okay? This is like going back to 1980s when I was just a young whippersnapper. Wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He was Zacchaeus. He was, look at verse 2. He was the chief tax collector. Now, the tax collectors are interesting in the Roman culture. They used... Now, I'm not going to get political. I almost promise. Almost. Nobody likes a tax collector. And the Roman government lived to oppress the Jewish people. And they wanted the taxes from the people. But taxes are different back in biblical times than today. We all pay taxes. If we don't pay our taxes, we get a lovely note from the IRS saying you have not paid your taxes. It's all tied in with our Social Security number and our paychecks and all of that. But back in the first century, they didn't have social security numbers. So what they did was they used men who lived in a certain area that knew the area, that people knew them and they knew those people. And that way they knew that people, every single person would pay their taxes. So a tax collector was a Jewish person that knew that region. And they knew it very well to make sure that James paid his taxes and Miss Lee paid her taxes. And then Dwayne paid his taxes. And then we're going to make sure Colby pays his taxes. And then we're going to make sure Sarah pays her taxes. That nobody can get away from paying the taxes. So they employed people to work for Rome. But the Jewish people, they would bid on these tax booths. So just to make up a fun number, I will be a tax collector. I will make a bid to have a tax booth for that particular region, and I'm going to bid $500. So I'm going to give the Roman government $500 in order to be the tax collector for the town of Bangor. Then what happens is I need you to pay your taxes so I can make my $500 back. Anything above and beyond the $500 I make, it goes in my pocket. And I have the Roman governor and the Roman citizens behind me to make sure you pay your taxes. And if you don't pay your taxes, I will make sure your life is miserable through coercion, through punishment, through jail, through manipulation. Why? Because I know where you live. And so the tax collectors were hated people. The tax collectors were the most despised people in the region because they believed, the Jewish people believed they were betraying their own people. So look at verse 2. Zacchaeus, who was what? A wee little man. Again, feeling awkward up here. It's okay. I'll get it. I'm good with feeling awkward. I live in it every day. He was a wee little man, but he was not just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. So he was the one that, if you will, today we would call it like a pyramid. There was the tax collectors, and then they had to pay up to the chief tax collector. And those chief tax collectors, they were the bosses of the tax collectors themselves. So they were very, very rich. Look at what Scripture says. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. How did he get rich? He got rich through the people's taxes, the very people he neighbored with and he would be around. So he was, if you will, doubly despised. He was despised, first of all, because he was very, very rich. He got very, very rich because of people paying their taxes. Taxes they really could not afford. The second reason he was despised is because he was a tax collector. And nobody liked the tax collector. So look at verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. How did he know who Jesus was? Well, give me a minute or two to talk about some speculation. One thing I learned as I studied this week was that Zacchaeus, remember, he was the chief tax collector. He had other tax collectors underneath him. Who's the other famous tax collector that we have, that we know of? He wrote a gospel. It's not Luke, it's not Mark, and it's not John. That leaves, hey, there you go. That leaves Matthew. He's a tax collector. Now, some commentators bring a theory. Now, this is your homework this afternoon, and you know I never collect your homework. I never even check your homework, but you go ahead, do some research. Some commentators have said because of Matthew's changed life, that Matthew was a tax collector, and then he stopped everything to follow Jesus. That changed life made its way up to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus saw a changed life in Matthew, and he wanted to know more about Jesus. Friends, lean in. There is no more powerful testimony than the testimony of a changed life for Jesus Christ. And here comes Zacchaeus. He is rich, if you will. He has everything this world has to offer, and yet he is the poorest man on earth because he does not have Jesus Christ. So, verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. This is the end of Jesus' ministry. Remember, he's working his way from Jericho into Jerusalem to try to, well, he's not going to try to. He's saving us through the crucifixion. And his ministry is very popular. He's got a great crowd around him. People are coming to him for the message. They're coming for the miracles. They're understanding who Jesus is. They know who he is. He's got a crowd around him. So Zacchaeus, verse 3, was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable to because of the crowd. If you're taking notes this morning, underline the crowd. The crowd is very, very important. There is a group around Jesus. This is every extrovert's dream, to have a group of people around yourself, to be able to encourage that fellowship. Jesus has got a group of people. But don't miss the truth of God's word. Jesus is not so consumed with the crowd that he misses an individual person. And if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write in your Bibles, people are important. People are important. Zacchaeus this morning, he is important. And Jesus doesn't miss Zacchaeus among the crowd. Now, Zacchaeus has a problem. The problem is he is a very small man. He's a wee little man, and he can't see over that crowd. He has a problem. He wants to see Jesus. He's heard the testimony about Jesus. And yet this morning, friends, he can't see Jesus because of the people. Zacchaeus is in a really tough spot. He has a couple of problems. There's something missing in his life. He has everything that we have to offer, and yet he's still missing something. Second of all, he's living in an area where everyone knows him and nobody wants to talk to him. Why? Because he's a tax collector. And third problem is he's surrounded by people and yet he's living a very lonely life. And this morning, friends, I wonder, as you sit in this building, you're surrounded by people, but I wonder if you're living in isolation, where you're not connected to people. You see, the truth that we have learned and I continue to learn as I see it unfold in Scripture is we were not meant to live alone. We were meant to live in community. We were meant to live with people. In the perfection of God in the Garden of Eden, God looked at Adam and he said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will create for him a helper. And so this morning, I wonder if you're like Zacchaeus. I wonder if you're living in isolation. You're surrounded by people, but yet you sit there and say, I'm so alone. So we look at verse 3. He was trying to see Jesus because he's living in isolation. He's all alone. He's despised, living in a town that nobody wants to see him. Nobody wants to be with him. And yet, he has an appointment to meet Jesus. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now remember what we've learned about Zacchaeus. He was a man of prominent status. He was not a man that was loved, but he was a man of prominent status. He had all of the earthly riches that anyone could offer. And yet he was the poorest man on the face of the earth. So a man in the first century would never run. A man of prominence would never, ever run. Look at what verse 4 says. So Zacchaeus he ran. He had to beat the crowd because there's quite a crowd around him. How big the crowd is, I don't know. It's big enough that Zacchaeus in his weeness, I just made that up by the way, his littleness, he couldn't see. So he ran ahead. Something a man of his stature and prominence, even though he was despised, would have never done. Second of all, look at what Scripture says. He ran ahead, and what did he do? He climbed up in a sycamore tree. A man of his prominence would never, ever climb up in a tree. I don't climb trees. Do you know why? No, I'm not a man of prominence. I'm just easily broken. I'm Break It Ralph, and it's usually on my body. When I was younger, I climbed some trees. I climbed a pine tree, and I made the one mistake you shouldn't do when you climb a tree. You know what I did? I looked down, and I was very, very high. I looked over to Michael, the archangel, and said, hey, that's a pretty good view. And I had to get coached down. Now, these days, I don't climb a tree. Not because I'm afraid of heights. It's because Holly says, honey, you're breakable. Please stay on the ground. So here comes Zacchaeus, and he needs to climb this tree because he's so small. And he wants to see Jesus. So a man of prominence runs ahead and then climbs up a tree, two things that he never did, and to see Jesus. Because Jesus was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, notice in Scripture, when Jesus came to the place of the sycamore tree, notice who's around him. That crowd is around him. And Jesus doesn't get lost in the crowd and miss the one person. This morning, he doesn't miss Waldo. He looks up in that tree, surrounded by people, and he looks at Zacchaeus, and notice what he says. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up to him, and he said, Zacchaeus. He called him by name. Why? Because people are important. You are important. I am important. Why? Because I was made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God. And Jesus came to die for you. And amongst that crowd, Jesus stopped. He looked up in that tree and he called him by name. Friends, again, people are important. So he looked at him and he said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. Well, if you're being addressed by Jesus, you're going to listen. Notice what Zacchaeus wants. He doesn't necessarily want to talk to Jesus. He just wants a glimpse of who Jesus is. And yet here comes Jesus. He stops everything. Now, granted, remember, he's going to Jerusalem to die. He's got a crowd of people around him, but he says, if you will, I've got to meet Zacchaeus. So he looks at him and he says, Zacchaeus, hurry down, for today I must come and stay at your house. What a great boost of morale for Zacchaeus. Remember, he's living in isolation. He's living in a town that nobody wants to see him, but everybody knows him. That's Zacchaeus. You know how many friends Zacchaeus has? Zero. But yet here comes Jesus, looking at Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus is important. And he looks at Zacchaeus and he says, hey, I must come to your house today. There's two responses that come from that saying. Half of you are saying, wow, Jesus is coming to my house. That is awesome. I can't wait to come and see Jesus and have him come to my house. The other half of you are feeling that anxious nervousness because you're thinking, I haven't picked up the dishes. I haven't swept. I haven't vacuumed. But Zacchaeus doesn't care about that. Zacchaeus desires to see Jesus. He wants to have fellowship with Jesus. He wants to know Jesus. So Jesus looks at him and says, today, I'm coming to your house. Look at verse 6. And Zacchaeus, he hurried and came down and he received him gladly. He comes down from the tree and says, I can't wait to spend time with you. I have talked about my times on an airplane that I sit beside someone and I say, hey, you know, we're going to cover the five F's of conversation. Remember what they are? Faith, family, future, finances, and friends. So I sit down, hey, what do you do? And they usually tell me and they say, well, what do I do? Oh, I work for a nonprofit. Oh, wow, what's that nonprofit do? Well, it helps the homeless. It helps those that are lost to be found. Oh, that's wonderful. What's the name of your organization? It's called The Church. Oh, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. Oh. Ding. Here comes a flight attendant. Yes, I'd like to change my seat, please. Because people have this perception of what a Christian is. People have this perception of what a pastor is. And here comes Zacchaeus. And he is eagerly excited to receive Jesus. Friends, this morning, I wonder, when people see you coming, are they happy to see you coming? Are they eagerly excited to invite you into their home because you show grace, because you show love, because you show compassion? Or do people see you coming and they run the other way? We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. How we interact and how we treat people directly reflects upon how God has handled us. So he says to Zacchaeus, today I need to come to your house. And Zacchaeus came and he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Now look at verse 7. Remember, there's the crowd around him. There's a crowd of people around him. Verse 7, when they, the crowd, really is the religious leaders. Remember, they don't like Jesus because Jesus is taking their power. He's taking their prestige. He's taking their popularity. When they saw it, that they began to grumble. They began to mutter to themselves, I can't believe that Jesus is talking to this tax collector. The tax collectors are the lowest in society. Jesus, you should be talking to the hoity-toity of society, the upper echelon of society, not to this thief, not to this manipulator, not to this tax collector. So when they saw it, they began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest. He's not just sitting down for lunch. He's going to spend the night. Jesus is going to the Zacchaeus bed and breakfast. And Zacchaeus didn't invite him. Jesus looked at him and said, I'm coming. I wonder how that would work in my life. Joe, I'm coming for lunch. Okay. I was looking for a little more excitement than that, but I'll go with that. Rachel, I'm coming for lunch. Okay, good. He invited himself because Jesus knows people are important. So he came down, he saw that they were grumbling, people were talking. He's come to be the guest of a man who, look at the end of verse 7, he's a sinner. You hear the judgment? He's a sinner. He's a sinner. Why would he hang out with him? Friends, we're all sinners. Friends, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. The only difference between Zacchaeus and me, as of right now, is Zacchaeus does not know Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. This morning can be the morning that you come to know him. This morning can be the morning that your life is forever changed. So Zacchaeus, he stopped in verse 8, and he said to him, Lord. So after a conversation with Jesus, he looks at him, he says, Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give it back four times as much." Look at what Zacchaeus does. After a conversation with Jesus, his life is forever changed. Notice what he does. First thing he does is he confesses him as Lord. "Jesus, it's your way." He acknowledges that he's done wrong. "I have stolen. I have manipulated. I am a thief. I have done wrong. And then I'm willing to repent of that and make the wrong right. I'm willing to give four times as much as I have stolen from you, from those that I have defrauded. I'm willing to do that." That's the Old Testament law. Fun fact, again, you have homework. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 18. Turn one page to Luke 18, starting in verse 18. It's the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, he wants to follow Jesus. Jesus tells him, "Hey, I need you to sell everything and then follow me." The rich young ruler says, "That's not for me. I want my stuff more than my Savior." And he says, "Jesus, I just can't do it." Look at Luke 19. You have another rich man who says, "I want my Savior more than my stuff." What a great way to compare and contrast this afternoon. Read the story of the rich young ruler. Read the story of Zacchaeus. You're going to notice similarities. You're going to notice the differences. What's the difference? It's in the response to the gospel. That Jesus can change lives if you allow Jesus to change your life. So he says, "Hey, whatever I've stolen, I'll repay it. It's just stuff." And once you come to know Jesus, it's all just stuff, because the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So Jesus says in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house." What made salvation come to Zacchaeus' house? He was a known tax collector, a fraud, and a sinner. What made him come to salvation? His acknowledgement of who Jesus was, Lord. His acknowledgement that he has done wrong, and his willingness to repent and make it right. It's not by his works. It's not because he went and did those things. It's for by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. But because Zacchaeus is willing to humble himself, make what was wrong right, Jesus looks at him in verse 9 and says, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham." Well, of course he is. Of course he's a son of Abraham. He's Jewish by his ancestors. But it's not because he's Jewish by his ancestors. It's because he has faith. Faith in the work of Christ that was done on the cross. Look at verse 10. "For the Son of Man," for Jesus, what did he do? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, Jesus is surrounded by people. He's on ultimate mission to go to Jerusalem to die for our sins. He's got a crowd of people that he could interact with, but yet he sees one man sitting in a sycamore tree, and he looks at him and says, "You are important. I have come to seek you." Friends, you're Waldo this morning. And in the chaos of life, in that big picture that we have of the beach scene and all of that, Jesus found us. And I just wonder this morning, are you lost? Are you wandering? Are you sitting in the sycamore tree looking at this saying, "I know there's something missing. I just don't know what it is"? This morning, friends, I would submit to you, you're missing Jesus. We have it all. And yet this morning, if you don't have Jesus, you're very, very poor. What a great opportunity this morning to leave here like Zacchaeus left his time with Jesus. So the question I have for you this morning is, are you wondering? And do you know where to find the truth? This morning, we got to read God's word. This is truth. Sanctify them by truth. What is truth? God's word is truth. If you're wandering this morning, then wander to the truth of God's word. Wander to the foot of the cross. You see, Zacchaeus, he had everything, and yet he had nothing. He had nothing until he met Jesus. And then, friends, he had everything. Three questions from this morning. The first one, are you living in isolation? Are you trying to find a connection? Whether it's through small groups, whether it's through peer groups, ultimately the best connection that I can offer, that we can offer here at Crosspoint, is the connection with Jesus Christ. The second one, Jesus went and fellowshipped with a known tax collector, the lowest of low in society. As you leave here, I just wonder who you could reach out to. Who is someone that people may look over? That's the person that needs Jesus. What would it look like for you to reach out to someone that no one else would reach out to because they need to hear the gospel? The gospel can change a life, but it takes us spreading the gospel. And the third and final one, are you wandering? Friends, I'd hope that you'd wander to the cross. And this morning, if you're here, whether you're in person, you're online, if you don't know how to do that, you confess Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that the tomb is empty, and you will be saved. You will be found. Because why? People are important. Let's go ahead and close our time in a word of prayer. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the truth of your word. Lord, I pray for us. For those that would be here this morning that would say, oh, you know, I'm living in isolation. Lord, I pray that they might be able to connect, whether it's with a pastoral staff, whether it's through one of the small groups that we have. God, I pray that you might help us to connect with each other because people are important. Lord, we're created in your image. And you came to seek us when we were Waldos. So Lord, I pray that you might help us to connect first of all with you and second of all with each other. Lord, give us the boldness that we need to go out and reach those that are far from you, those that society has looked down upon, because the gospel can change their life. And Lord, if we would be honest with ourselves, we were like them until someone shared the gospel with us. So Lord, I pray a boldness upon us as a church this morning, this afternoon, this evening, throughout the week, as we move around. May we be not so consumed with the crowd that we may see that one person in society that's sitting in the sycamore tree, that we look at them and say, they need Jesus. Oh Lord, give us boldness. And Lord, if there's one here that would say, I don't know Jesus, but I'm missing something, Lord, may you put a holy discontent in their heart and in their soul until they seek out a pastor in the back, until they interact with someone on the worship team to find out the truth of your word. And Lord, may we always remember that your word is truth. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.